This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3142 for Tuesday, the 18th of August 2020. Today's show is entitled TCSH. It is the 240th anniversary show of Klaatu and is about 29 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is Klaatu talks about TCSH.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Listening to Hacker Public Radio. My name is Klaatu. I want to talk about TCSH, otherwise known as the C shell. The C shell is a Linux, or I should say a Unix shell that was developed back at Bell Labs not long after the Bourne shell was developed. The Bourne shell, of course, is the early shell for Unix that was developed as an alternative, I guess, to just having to program everything in C, I imagine. I'm not really sure. I mean, I know that the Bourne shell was a big deal when it was a thing, when they created it, and it was well loved by people, I guess. But the C shell came out because a lot of the programmers working on Unix at Bell Labs were programming in C, and the C shell had as one of its big selling points a C-like syntax, and that's kind of the only good thing you'll ever hear about the C shell. And I'm not here to convince you otherwise, to be honest. And in fact, I can't even do a hard sell on the C shell for its C syntax, because I find that its C syntax is inconsistent. It's a little bit blown out of proportion. So I'm not here to talk about why C shell is better than any other shell. And in fact, if I were only allowed one shell in my life, I would absolutely not take C shell. I would take Bash. Well, or Z shell. But I mean, Z shell is almost indistinguishable from Bash. So one of those two, right? Not C shell. And yet, I've found over the years that I have a fondness for C shell, and I'll tell you why. It's not for a good reason. It is not something that I can defend or anything, you know. It doesn't stand up to criticism. It's purely an emotional thing. Or even less than that. It's more habitual. A little bit of emotion, also some habit. So back when I was learning Unix in a book called Visual Quick Start to Unix, I think it was by Peach Pit Press, which may also be owned by O'Reilly now, or maybe even then. Either way, learning Unix, and the book, as I recall, was relatively shell indifferent, and I'm pretty sure that I used C shell for that, TCSH. So C shell was developed, it kind of faded, but TCSH carried the C shell mantle on. So when I say C shell, I'm actually talking about TCSH. They're basically, we'll sort of treat them as the same, even though, strictly speaking, I don't think the C shell is really maintained anymore. It's TCSH is where all the development is, as far as I know. I haven't really looked into proper C shell. So I was using TCSH when I started learning Unix, is the point of that little story. And so I kind of grew accustomed to some of the idiosyncrasies of TCSH. Didn't miss them when I switched to Bash, apparently, because I hadn't used one enough to then be confused when I switched to the other. That's quite likely. Although I do think that probably some of the weirdness, like with the set env and set, probably kind of confused me when I first started on Bash, but not enough to slow me down. It was I think I just chalked it up to just general not knowing what I was doing. So I was on TCSH for a brief moment, switched to Bash, never looked back until I started working in post-production, and specifically in post-production at a big effects house, went back to the, you know, the, this effects house had been around since the late 90s, and I assume they were using SGI boxes back then, and I'm assuming that either SGI shipped with TCSH, or someone, you know, whoever was in charge of that stuff at that time, actually, I think I know who it was, too, just probably liked TCSH, and so he used TCSH when he was developing all of their custom in-house scripts. And so when I started working at this place in the early 2000s, well, I guess early 2010s, then I found that a lot of their stuff was written in TCSH. Didn't matter, right? I mean, the thing about scripts that are written in a different shell than what you're running is that they have the shebang line at the top and will invoke whatever shell specified. So you could be running Bash and launch a TCSH script, and you'll never know. It'll run perfectly. And that's not because it runs, quote-unquote, in Bash. It's because it's launching a TCSH shell, a subshell, and running the script using that is its engine. So it doesn't matter that it was TCSH, because TCSH was installed on the systems and it would just run as expected no matter what shell the user was actually using to trigger it. That said, there was a lot of TCSH sort of in the company, and I thought, well, I'm not completely new to TCSH. I've never minded TCSH. I think I'll start using that here at work. And so for several years I was a TCSH user for, you know, every day, Monday through Friday, and I think I also had it on one of my home computers as well, just to keep me in practice over the weekends. So TCSH, it's something that I'm fond of because I've used it, and it's just something that I guess the thing is that I didn't develop a sort of a distrust or a fear for it. The way, for instance, I developed kind of a fear of the unknown for instance, Corn Shell. Nothing's wrong with the Corn Shell. It's just that KSH. It's just that I never really had used it, and I thought, well, what if I start using it, and I get busy one day, and I forget that I'm using Corn Shell, and I go to do something that I hadn't done before, and it doesn't work. It'll slow me down for possibly 3 hours, or 3 seconds, one of the two, but either way, that's a cost that is too high. But TCSH, I was familiar with it. I knew what it was possible to do with TCSH, and I knew what was not possible. And so it was something that I was comfortable with. So I guess that's what I'm saying in this episode, is that I am comfortable with TCSH. I'm not saying it's better than Bash. I'm not saying there's any good reason to use it over Bash. But I am saying I'm comfortable with it, and here's why. Or rather, here's possibly some reasons, some ways that I'm comfortable with it, and maybe some reasons that you may or may not want to use it yourself. So, the first thing is the C-like syntax, which, as I've already said, a little bit overblown, I think, in my opinion, but there are some subtleties to it that are interesting. So, first of all, let's take the simple if statement. In Bash, of course, you would do something like if square bracket dollar sign var dash gt 0 close square bracket next line then next line echo blah, and then you'd close that with an fi, the word if spelled backwards. Now, I have to say that's weird syntax. I don't care what your experience level is with any language, that's a weird syntax. If square bracket variable dash gt, what is dash gt? Well, obviously it is greater than, but there are already math operators invented, right? We have things like greater than symbols and less than symbols and pluses and minuses and so on. So what's the deal with the dash GT? Well, what's actually happening here is that Bash is not utilizing any kind of built-in mathematical system. It is using it's using the test, I think the binary executable test, as far as I know. Let's just double check, I guess. At least that part. No, test is a built-in. Okay, so it's using a built-in test to sort of as a call-out to analyze this statement. And part of the syntax of test is this weird sort of dash GT thing. So that's odd. And then the closing the if statement with a backwards if, that seems a little bit strange to me. I mean, it's efficient, but it is strange. I mean, I'm not saying strange doesn't equal bad. I am simply saying it's strange. Whereas certainly if you were a C programmer back in the 70s and 80s or today, and you were used to something a little bit more like if parentheses dollar sign var is greater than with the symbol one close parentheses then echo blah end if, that feels a little bit more normal. Now, strangely, to no credit of TCSH, I guess, strangely, that's not actual C syntax. If you've ever written C, you know that that's not what C would actually look like either. So it is a little bit odd that everyone says, oh, C shell is cool because of the C-like syntax. And I guess what they really mean is, yeah, it's C-like, but it is not C syntax. So I don't know what the qualifiers are for when something is C-like and when something is not C-like, if by C-like we don't mean exactly like C. So that's odd, but there you go. That's the if statement in C shell, the C parentheses then, and then closing it with end if. Another thing about the C shell that I find mildly comforting, or again, just I guess comfortable, is the way that you can feel as if though you are declaring variables when you set them. So you know how in a programming language, in many programming languages, you are required to to declare a variable before you go throwing the variables around. And in some programming languages, you even have to you have to write it in the code so that the compiler will know what to expect and such. You have to tell it what kind of variable you are creating. You have to give it a type. So you might have to say int var equals one, or string var equals word, some word, example word, or car var equals, you know, the letter A, something like that. So you don't really have to do that in a lot of modern languages. A lot of them just kind of figure that out for you. Think about Python, but also Bash. They don't require you to type your variables. You just, you create a variable and you throw some data into it, and it figures out what kind of data you've given it. And some programming languages are smart enough to almost do that on the fly. Like, it doesn't care the type of variable until you set about using the variable, at which point it analyzes the way that you are trying to that data and responds accordingly. It's a great convenience, and yet there's something about it when going for structure. I find there's something comforting about the regimented nature of having to say, of having to set a variable. You type in the word set space var equals h or one or whatever. So it's the word set. Now actually, once again, in C shell, there are strangely several different ways you can set variables, and the keyword set is merely one of them, which I think that can be a little bit confusing, and it's a little bit puzzling, and it's one of those quirks about C shell that I've never quite understood why they have at least three different ways to set variables that I can think of off the top of my head, possibly more. But the one that I latched onto eventually was the keyword set, simply because it felt right to have to declare to something that I am creating a variable here. And I think I like that not just because it quote unquote feels right, but because when you go into the code 3 years later, or you know, in my case, 1 week later, to fix something, and you've completely forgotten everything about the script that you're fixing, the language that you're writing in, you're just, everything's gone. Seeing the name of the variable preceded by the word set identifies that string, that word, as yes, that is a variable. It kind of confirms that for you. I don't know if you've ever read a lot of source code. Many of you probably have, but sometimes when you're reading, there's so many words there, and they all look basically the same. They're all strange and cryptic, and none of them, it all sort of starts to meld together, especially if there's a bunch of libraries or modules or whatever thrown into the mix. Then you have all of these unfamiliar words that normally wouldn't be in this programming language anyway, but there's this library that they're using that you're not really used to seeing. So now you have these words thrown into the code along with the keywords of the language, along with your variables. That's a lot of different words, strings of letters, that you have to kind of categorize in your mind. And I always liked I think COBOL or Fortran or ALGOL, some of those, and even BASIC, where the commands seemed to be, well, heck, even MySQL, a lot of times people will do it this way. The commands are all in capital. And so you've got these really sort of loud, shouty command words. And then everything else after that, you know, if it's not in all caps, then you know that's not part of the language. It's something else. And I very frequently in, for instance, Python, I'll very frequently make my variables all capitals. And I'm sure that's making some Python devotee out there shudder, because I'm sure there's a pep out there where it says that variables should not be all capitals or something, but I don't care. I think it separates it really, really nicely. If not for me right now, then for me later. And that's kind of, in a way, what set var or set example variable name does for me. It gives me that reference point in the code to confirm that one word that could be anything is indeed a variable name, something, you know, like page, set page equals true. I don't know, whatever, right? Now, if I see the word page throughout the thing, I know that there it's a variable called page and not some fancy library, some function out of some fancy library that I'm just not, that I don't remember is involved in this thing. So I like that. I like that sort of earmarking of, yes, this is the type of word this is, and you should remember that from then on. Of course, set, the function or the command itself, has a bunch of other uses. It's in C shell as in Bash. You can get a listing of your variables in C shell and in Bash. You can type in set, and it'll give you all the variables that have been defined. In C shell, you can do, I'm going to switch over to TCSH here. You can do set and get all the variables that have been set. And then you can also do set env, set on, and get all the environment variables that have been set. I don't know if that exists. Does that exist in Bash? No, it doesn't. But just env exists in Bash. So yeah, there are some little, you know, extra functions there of set. And there's unset, of course, as well. If you want to ditch a variable, decide you no longer need var, which you have set previously to 1, then you could unset var and then look for var in your set list, and you will not find. Here's another thing that I kind of like about TCSH, and this is silly, and really, you know, every other day this is something that I don't like about TCSH, but every other day I do like it, and that is that Bash can sometimes get a little bit too fancy pants for its own good, and it kind of encourages people to be a little bit too fancy. Now, this honestly normally is a feature for me. Like, I'm a KDE fan, right? That's my primary environment, because everything is customizable on KDE. A common criticism, this will come back to TCSH, trust, common criticism of KDE Plasma Desktop is that there are too many options. People say, oh, you know, you right click you can right click on everything and everything has 20 different options, and you can go into any of those 20 options and get 40 more, you know, a window of 40 different knobs that you can tweak and change. And that's, to a lot of people, a criticism. That's a problem. And that, to me, never made sense. Like, why would you criticize something for having too many possible ways to control it? Like, that sounds fantastic. That sounds like what a computer should be. So in real life, like at the core of my being, I like that, because I know that there's always the option to ignore all of those options. You don't like a feature? Pretend like it doesn't exist. As simple as that. That gets a little bit more complicated when you start dealing with other people, though. And I have many times opened up Bash scripts, and I've seen things like var equals hacker public radio, camel casing, right? $, curly brace, hacker public radio, no, var, sorry, $, curly brace, var, R, comma, comma, close curly brace. Cool. What on earth did that just do? Nobody knows. It's a secret bash function. It's shorthand. It's super handy. Like someone out there right now, probably listening to my voice, I'm talking to you. You know what that means, and you love that feature. And like I say, at the core of my being, so do I. Like, I want that feature to exist. I want you to like that feature. I want you to have access to that feature. But in practice, secretly, when I'm not recording HackerPulk radio episodes, secretly, I don't like that sort of function because it slows me down for 3 seconds when I open up a bash script and look at that. I think, what does that mean? What's happening there? I can't be bothered to look it up. Maybe if I ignore it, it won't matter. And then I spend the next hour trying to achieve something that isn't working and I can't figure out why. And then finally I remember there was that one line I ignored, and I go back and I finally do an info bash or a man bash, and I look through it and I find this comma comma curly brace thing, and I realize, oh, that's like a shortcut in bash to take a variable, in this case var, and make it all lowercase. And now you know what the function does. But you didn't know it before. It's not intuitive. It's not very easy to figure out what's happening there. It doesn't even necessarily look like string manipulation, right? I mean, like, it not really. Like, if you look at that, $ curly brace var, comma, comma, curly brace, what does that do? Surely it just removes an extension, a file extension, or something like that, or it delimits something. No, it makes everything lower. That sort of thing, like I say, if you know what it is and you use it regularly, it is brilliant too. And if it doesn't, then you don't like it, or it messes you up and then you grow to resent it. And I guess that's sort of, in a way, what happens to me pretty regularly. I grow to resent little shorthand, little almost, I'm going to call them Perlesque. That's P-E-R-L, not B-U-R-L-E-S-U-E. It's Perlesque shorthand, because it's just not very intuitive, but it's super efficient and handy. TCSH doesn't mess around with that. They just don't even give you that option, which again, normally in real life, I hate. I think that's horrible. It means that TCSH is essentially GNOME 3 to the KDE of Bash, and why would I ever want to remove option from the universe of possibilities that I have, or that I expect when I have a programming language or a scripting language? Well, the answer is simply just for that future self again, or for that other user who might be opening up a script. I find that if there's that smaller set of vocabulary, then it's kind of easier for everyone to get onto the same level. And with TCSH, that it ensures that I don't get overly clever, and that the future me, or ideally someone else trying to contribute to a project that I'm maintaining, they'll be able to read the code, understand what's going on, and then conform to it without too much sort of reverse engineering or study. Now, of course, the catch there is that really realistically, Bash is the lingua franca of shell scripting, and so if I throw TCSH into the world, then the possibilities of people using Bash, some kind of illegal Bash syntax, or rather legal Bash syntax that TCSH doesn't understand, is actually pretty great, and that could slow them down just as much as $ curly brace var, comma, comma, curly brace. So var being an example, by the way, that it could be anything. It could be penguin, $ curly brace penguin, whatever your variable is called. Point being, I like the restrictions that TCSH imposes upon me, because it keeps me from being too clever in places that really probably don't need, they didn't need to have that cleverness involved. It was just one of those things where, honestly, the thing and a good a quick little tweak in awk would have done the same result, and it would have been visually a lot more intuitive. So that's one of those weird backward features that I actually quite appreciate about TCSH. Another cool little shortcut in TCSH that I like is the at symbol for math. This seems kind of silly, and it is, but it is kind of nice as well. You can, in TCSH, type the character at, you know, just like the thing in between emails, and then do, for instance, in, and then the equal sign, and then parentheses 1 plus 1, let's do divided by 2, close parentheses. If I echo in, I get, as we would expect from that equation, 1. Now, that is different from, for instance, set in equals parentheses, I don't know, let's just do 1 plus 1 to keep it simple. And then echoing in, that gives me 1 plus 1. But if I do that at symbol, it actually resolves the math within that variable. Is that any different functionally from in bash doing let n equals parentheses 1 plus 1 divided by 2 close parentheses? No, not really. One of the main differences is that it is one character instead of three. Like I say, it's kind of silly, but I do appreciate that sort of illusion of speed. I like that, the simplicity of just the at symbol. I don't know why it's the at symbol. It could probably have been really anything else other than at, really, because that doesn't quite connect with me in terms of here's a mathematical looking thing. At never really said that to me, but it does work, it's quick, and for whatever reason, it's easier for me to remember than syntax for math in other shells. And that's it. Those are the reasons I can point to for sort of enjoying TCSH. There are other strange, mildly perverse reasons for liking TCSH. For instance, TCSH doesn't do functions. It doesn't have an ability to define your own functions in TCSH. Again, kind of odd for a thing that's often praised for being, for sort of calling back to C, right? I mean, that's all you do in C. Well, it's not all you do, but I mean, functions, that's a thing in C. You don't really have that ability in the C shell at all. So what that means is that you get to invent like clever sort of new ways to code such that you're emulating functions, you know, weird stuff like that. It gets a little bit strange, and honestly, if you're doing this at home and you're looking at the time and you just think I got to get through this script so I can move on to something more important, messing around with TCSH might not be the most pleasant of avenues towards getting a job done. But you know, when you're sitting at work and you're getting paid for every moment that you work on a script anyway, and you think, if I write this in TCSH, then I will be compliant with all of the other scripts in this environment, wouldn't that, then yeah, it's kind of worth it, it's kind of fun. So that's the C shell or the remnants thereof, and I'm not recommending it, but I'm not recommending against it either. I know that there have been rather old historical documents about why you should never shell script, you should never script with C shell, and so on. And that may have been true at one point. I don't know if it's still true. Like, I don't know if any of the reasons in those sorts of flame war posts are actually valid. All I know is that that shells are fun to mess around with, and C shell is a shell, and it is fun to mess around with. So if you're curious about it, try it out sometime. It might be fun. It might at least make you see the difference between sort of whatever it is you're taking for granted, whether it's bash or Z shell or even corn shell, all of which kind of act mostly the same in most ways. Try out C shell. See what's different. See how frustrating it is. See how much fun it is to learn a different syntax. It might just make you see things a little bit differently, you know, kind of the way that the first time you sat down in front of a Unix that wasn't Linux and you realized, oh, the commands that I take for granted aren't the only ways of accomplishing this or that task. I have to learn new Unix commands, you know, dedicated to this system. That's kind of what C shell is a lot of times. There are lots of valid ways to talk to your computer, as it turns out, and it's not only through bash. And sometimes that can be very enlightening. That can be sort of transformative and make you a little bit more agile and flexible when approaching any problem, really, but certainly one of syntax. Check it out. Or I should say, take the plunge. C shell, plunging into the sea. No, that's not really funny. Anyway, talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.